Not a pretty picture up there, is it? A picture of bones, dry bones. As we sang here, listen to that song just before the service began, The Days of Elijah. You probably noticed that the second verse said, these are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming as flesh. Sounds like a bad movie. A zombie movie, a horror story. Doesn't sound like the kind of thing you'd hear about in the Bible. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit today. But I think it's important that we understand the context of this vision of the dry bones. Ezekiel was a prophet, a contemporary of Daniel. And he was in Babylon when Daniel was in Babylon, at least at the beginning of his life. And then, when he was in his 30s, Jerusalem was finally destroyed. You maybe remember that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came in and he took the king away from Jerusalem, took a lot of the people away, and he set up a puppet king, Jehoiachin. And let him rule there, sort of as his captain or whatever. But most of the people were hauled off to Babylon. There were still people left. And God said to Ezekiel, I want you to go and talk to the people of Israel, to be a prophet to them. But it wasn't quite that easy, not quite that simple. And I want you to pay attention to what happened to Ezekiel and how he was called to his ministry. We're not going to get into all the details of how his ministry went and what happened during them and some of the really horrible things that God demanded of him. I challenge you to read this book. We don't do it very often. Most people, I'm afraid, probably don't even know the name Ezekiel. But we're going to read quite a bit out of it this morning. There are 48 chapters, so obviously we can't cover everything. But we're going to start with Ezekiel 2. It's page 821 if you want to follow along. And he said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt to me, against me, to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth, and I will give and eat what I would give to you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and in it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Wow, what a way to start. This is not fun. God didn't just call Ezekiel and say, hey guy, come on, I want you to go over there. He made him stand up. Made him stand up. And listen. Now we're going to skip over to chapter 3. starting at the fourth verse. Then he said to me, Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure speech and strange language whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. That doesn't sound very good. And we're going to continue reading now at the 14th verse. Then the Spirit, now listen to this. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. I came to the exiles who lived in Tel Aviv near the Kibar River. And there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply distressed. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die in their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn that wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die in their sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, pretty rugged, huh? Ezekiel was like most of us. He had no plan or intent to serve God in any special way. But in his choice, God didn't give him a choice. God says, this is what you're going to do. And he picked him up and he made him listen. And then he moved him. It seems, as I read through this, that he physically moved him from Babylon to Israel and put him there. And Ezekiel was not happy about it. And God stood him up again and he said, look, guy, I've got words for you, and you've got words for the people, and you must tell them. And perhaps God is saying to each one of us, you know what's right. You know the words of God, and you are responsible to tell those who don't know them. Did you notice what he said to Ezekiel? If you don't tell them, you're guilty of their blood. And so you go out and tell them. If you don't, you're guilty. If you do tell them, regardless of their response, then at least you're off the hook. I want you to know that that's the hook I've been hanging on for a number of years. And that's why sometimes people say, how do you dare say that from the pulpit? Because it has to be said. And perhaps if we only spoke about the love of Jesus, more people would fill these pews. Could be. But we, not just me, we have the responsibility to let other people know. And we're hanging on that hook. If we don't tell them, when they die because of their sins, it's on us. I want you to know how difficult Ezekiel's ministry was. If you read about it, you'll read how he had to lay on his side for how many days. And then he had to lay on his other side for how many days. Later on in his life, there are other things, but God said, your wife is going to die, and you are not to mourn her, so that people will see that you're not mourning her as a sign of how God wants to mourn for his people. Now Ezekiel didn't prophesy just to the Israelites. He went west to the Tyre and Sidon along the coast. And he prophesied to Lydda and a few others and the king of Egypt. He prophesied the same sort of things to the king of Egypt as he did to Israel, that you will be scattered amongst the people. And who do you think that God used to do that? King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. God even rewarded King Nebuchadnezzar with the plunder from Israel and Tyre and Sidon and Egypt for carrying out his punishment. We're going to pick up the story, Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 32. I'm afraid that what we read about in the Israelites' history in Ezekiel is not unlike what we have here. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of their houses and saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do, like on a Sunday morning, sit before you and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. You ever see something like that? Sound familiar? Eventually, God gave Ezekiel a little more welcome message. He promised to bring his people back from exile to rebuild their land. Not because of their goodness, not because they repented, but because God wanted to show his righteousness and his holiness. Ezekiel 36, starting at 22. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. That happened in the days of the prophets Zechariah and Malachi. Daniel had passed on. You know the story, at least I hope you know the story, of how Hezekiah came to rebuild Jerusalem. Eventually they built a new temple. Of course, those that had seen the old one wept, because as magnificent as the new one was, it wasn't anything like the old one. And then in chapter 37, we come upon the vision of the dry bones that we sang about in that song. And the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord." You see, the people of Israel were as good as dead, like dry bones. You've heard me speak about death as separation. If you were at the funeral this week, death is separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body, but spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. And that lasts forever, unless God steps in and we connect with God and we have life. Life that stays with us forever. And when we die, physically, we go through that door into eternity and we're holding the hand of God Almighty. And so God is saying through Ezekiel, those people that I would call are dead. We are born dead, separated from God. And there are people that God would have come alive. Nowadays, we don't call it the nation of Israel, we call it Christians, the family of God. Now, God brought the Israelite nation, back to Israel. And they lived there for 400 years, and he sent his son, Jesus, to live in that society. And they rejected him. And they died again. And those that wouldn't believe were scattered again. And Israel was no more until, I think, the 1940s. And God again started to bring his people back to Israel. I don't know how to the letter God will bring his people back to Israel. That's really not the point of the message that he brought through Ezekiel. God goes out and he finds those that are dead and he brings them to life and he brings them back to become part of his family. And that's who we are. We are those that were dead. We are some of those that he's called us. He's called us in. Some of us, it's been through some pretty hard things. Ezekiel didn't want to do what God called him to do. He was bitter about it. He was angry about it. If he'd have had his way, he wouldn't have got up and acknowledged God, but God stood him up and said, "Listen up, guy." And he said, "You're going." And Ezekiel, "Oh no, I don't want to go there." But God made him go. Now, I don't know anybody that God has been that severe with. But I got to ask the question, is God calling you and you're not listening? Perhaps one of the things that God's going to do is call you to be a leader in this church, to take on a responsibility. Perhaps not in the church, perhaps out in the community. And God's going to say, "I don't care if you want to go or not. I need you to do this." That's not fun to hear. It's not fun to say. But if you observe the churches of America and of the world, they're dwindling. They worship, the worship team and the music that they bring, and the congregation isn't out there singing. They're not participating, they're just watching. We worship numbers, large congregation. Sunnybrook's a good example. They've been growing, growing, growing. Numbers are important to them. And they pulled away from the brotherhood, the denomination. We think we can grow better without other Christians. They will die. It will happen. Mark my words. And the Church of Jesus Christ, we call it that, in the United States of America, dwindles because people don't want to do what God calls them to do. They don't want to say, "I can do that. God has gifted me for that job." They aren't willing to say, "But I can give up bingo and go to a midweek service." I had a guy contact me this week and he asked me about our congregation. He said, "What kind of outreaches do you have?" And I had to tell him, "Well, we don't do a lot during the week because people don't come." Why don't people come? If God calls you to come, why don't you come? Or your families? Look around you today. How many people are not here? Because there was something that was much more important than hearing what God might have to say this morning. And so this message, it's a hard message, falls on few ears because others didn't think it was important to be here. And there are going to be some out there that will say, "Well, but I had a good reason. I was doing this or going there or sleeping or whatever." Is God going to come and stand them up by their hair and say, listen to me? And he's giving you a chance that he doesn't have to stand you up and point you out. Ezekiel ends with this. And the name of the city from that time on, this city where God has brought his people together, is the Lord is there. And so I want to ask you, in the years going forward, are going to people look at this building up here and watch the people walk in and out and say, the Lord is there? Or not? I quote what I read earlier from Ezekiel. They hear your words, but do not put them into practice. I pray that that's not us. Almighty God, you see us. You know what I said. It's directly out of your word to Ezekiel and to the Israelites. Help us to hear your word, to put it into practice, to be your people. No excuses. The family of God. We're not worthy, but we're here in Jesus' name. Amen.